Well, good morning. Hey, welcome to Crossroads. Today is a very special day. They're all special, right? But there's something about true Crossroads stories that really resonate with me, that is one of my favorite days whenever we do them, because they're real people telling their story. And man, just to sing that song of God's reckless love, that he pursues us. I don't know how you view the Bible, but to me, the Bible is a giant love story. It's a story of mankind doing things our way and a loving God pursuing us and wanting the best for us. And the gospel is all about God so loving us that he sent his own son to die because nothing else worked, because he loved you and loved me so much. If you would, take out your message outlines. Today, there's not much. If you're used to a full set of notes, they're very simple today. Matter of fact, you get to decide what you put on your note sheets. But I love stories because stories are life-changing. The stories that you're going to hear from Crossroaders today, their life change is a common thread. Jesus changing their life is a common thread. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you the one fill-in that's there. Because you know what we do at Crossroads? We count what matters. And you know what matters to God more than anything? People. And so we count people. We know how many people are here every single week. We know how many people are online every single week. We count people because people count. I had a pastor once say that's an ego trip for pastors, counting people. Just to say, ooh, my church. No. You count what matters. I asked him, do you count your offering? He said, yes. I said, so is money more important than your people? We count both because they both matter. So fill this in if you're taking notes. Every number has a story. No, every number has a name. Every name has a story, and every story matters to God. So every story you're going to witness today matters to God, and they're different. Don't try to compare them. I used to compare my story to like somebody I talked to in prison, right? They killed somebody. They found Jesus, and they had this powerful story, and I'm like, ooh, mine's pretty boring compared to that. You can't compare stories because the common thread of these stories is Christ, and all of our stories matter to God. So keep that in mind as you listen, as you watch, as you make notes, as you decide what's a takeaway for you. And our prayer is today that we all walk out of here different because of what we've experienced, what we've heard, the inspiration that we've received, whatever it is that you take away. These stories all matter to God, and they're all unique. I want you to take a look at this first true Crossroads story.
I'm Mark Comstock, and I've been a member of the Crossroads Community Church for close to 20 years, and I'm going to share a little bit of my story. 20 years ago, I was the assistant basketball coach at Central Michigan University. My second stint as a Division I assistant basketball coach at the Division I level. And as we progressed into our season, we had one of the best seasons in Central Michigan's history. Leading up to the season, the next season, we were invited to Maui Invitational, which is the premier invitational tournament in the country. And we were fortunate to get an invitation, but the sad thing was our center declared shortly after our great season that he was going to go to the NBA, of which he ended up having an 11-year career in the NBA. And when I came to Central Michigan, we had just had a newborn, a child that was one and a daughter that was eight at the time. And our family had finally came back to Michigan full cycle in my basketball career. And we were back close to home where I was from in Southern Michigan. And as we got ready to go that fall, my wife Gemma at the time, we were part of a homecoming 10K race. And we did that. She was a runner. We did that with another assistant coach. After that run, I could tell that Gemma was struggling, not just after completing the 10K race, but she just wasn't right. Her stomach ached, her back ached. She could hardly get through our brunch that we went to after the homecoming Central Michigan race, and things just weren't right. So we had some strong concerns about her health, but didn't know what was going on. I had some apprehension about going to Maui with our team, but she strongly encouraged me to go. Our team flew to Maui for the tournament. It was going to be three games on ESPN, and we had a great trip there. Got there, woke up the next morning to the news that one of our players, who was a walk-on, didn't make the trip with us, was killed in a car accident. Our news upon our arrival the next morning was pretty tough. I had enough concern as it was with what was going on with my wife, but that was tragic news. We ended up playing the tournament. We lost all three games, which seemed pretty irrelevant at the time. And then upon getting back to Detroit, we jumped on a bus and went straight to the funeral home. Shortly after that, Gemma was failing with her health. Her lungs were filling up with fluid. She was in tremendous discomfort and pain. We went to the hospital in Mount Pleasant, and the doctor stood up and kind of approached me and said, do you really want to know what's going on here? And I said, well, yeah, I do. And he said, I just would give her 3 to 6 months at the most. And at that time I was obviously devastated. It really set me back. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I was not going to share it with her because Gemma was, I knew she was never going to quit battling and never give up hope. 2 days after she was sent home, she passed away after a diagnosis, just 28 days from final diagnosis. And it was a real shock. It happened so fast. I guess I didn't know what to think, what to do. Hunter, my son, was 2 years old. Paige was 9 years old, and we quickly had a funeral 2 days later after she passed away as the basketball team was headed to a game at Ohio University. And then she was flown to Western Kansas, to Waukene, where she was from, and we had a service there. And I was probably the most ill-prepared person in the world for what happened to me. I was a college basketball coach. I was on the road recruiting. I was on the road traveling with our team. It was a 12-month-a-year job. I didn't know what was next for me. I didn't know how to cook, to clean. She did all the financial business in our family. She did it all. And I didn't know what was next. I did know that before she passed away, I promised that I would be the best mother and best father I could possibly be to the two kids. And my sole purpose began to do the best thing I could do for those kids. And the coach that I was working for at Central got a call from a person from Adrian and mentioned that they were looking for a head basketball coach, and they had a full-time teaching position. And my parents were still alive at the time, living about 35 minutes from here. And I thought maybe this is what I should do, that if my sole purpose was to raise the kids, that a 9-month teaching opportunity and a chance to still stay in basketball and coach certainly seemed like maybe the right thing to do. So we moved to Adrian. Things worked out. We finally found a place to stay. We started to look for a new church home. We tried a couple churches. My daughter was invited to Crossroads on a Sunday by another family that were Crossroaders. And she came home all excited about the music, the message, and said, Dad, I think we found a place. You need to go next Sunday and experience what we just experienced. And to be honest with you, we fell in love with Crossroads. I learned more about myself. I learned more about my faith. My faith has never been stronger. Crossroads has just been great for us the last 20 years. We've been fortunate. I've served on the creative team, and I'm also now on the emergency response team. And we're just excited every Sunday to get up and go to church at Crossroads.
Mark did a fantastic job. If you were to see his adult kids today, they're both doing fantastically well. And you guys are all part of that. Many of you have been a part of that. Can't imagine, right? Again, we can't compare stories. Every story matters to God. They're all unique. They all have their, none of us know all the roads that we're going to travel, right? But the faith component, making some great decisions to give up a very promising career to raise a 2-year-old, a 9-year-old, man. Wow, 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 wow. Well, I want you to hear another story today. Again, they're all unique because we're unique. None of us are alike. Take a look and a watch at Kyle's story.
My name's Kyle Burkhart. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I'm 26 years old. I'm here to do an interview with these guys on my life. So when I was 18 years old, well, actually I was 16, I ended up moving out of my mom's house and I was on my own for a long time. I did a lot of dirt, like I used to steal and do things that, because I used to be a drug addict. I just got like to smoking weed and things like that, like, and then it moved on to cocaine, then that moved on, I needed to come down, so I needed pills, was Percocets, things like that. And then I moved to heroin. And that just destroyed my life. That was the devil, man. All of it's a devil, but like that really did me in. And from the age of 16 to now, I've been a drug addict ever since. I've never been clean. I went to jail about 4 months ago, was withdrawing from the drugs. I got out and they let me out because my grandmother passed away. She had passed away about like 2 days before I got out. And I talked to her the night before that. And she couldn't talk or anything because she was, you know, on her deathbed. But my grandpa put me on speaker and he said, your grandma can hear you. You know, you can talk. And I was through the jail phone, man. And that just killed me. You know what I'm saying? And I told her, I said, you know what, Grandma, I promise you I'll never touch a drug a day in my life before she passed. And that's one of the things that changed my outlook on a lot of things. And I also have kids, you know, things like that. So I have to, you know, take care of myself and my family. Well, it's crazy because I was on the phone with my mom and she's like, you know what, son, I think it's about time for you to give yourself to the Lord. And I thought about it, and I'm like, no, I don't know if I'm ready, you know. And then something like, yeah, there was like maybe a spiritual awakening. Something came to me and was like, I was at my dad's house because I had nowhere to go. I was still homeless, you know. So I went and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it now. I'm just going to, you know, just go in the bathroom, drop to my knees and ask the Lord to save me. And that's what I did. And I never thought I'd be able to do that because I thought I had too much pride. But, you know, I'm on his path, man, and it's great. I love it. And once I gave my life to Christ, I changed everything. I have my own house, 2 cars. I have all my kids back. And I just couldn't ask for a greater life. I'm just starting my own business, things like that. And in a matter of 4 months, man, it's amazing. The day I got baptized, I didn't expect it, but I had gave my life to Christ 30 days before that, and the next step is to get baptized for obedience, and that's what I did. And I came to church, and my girlfriend asked, she was like, hey, you want to go to church? I'm like, sure, you know. And I've never really been a church guy, but something's just gotten into me lately, you know. So we ended up coming up here and attended the service, and I knew people were getting baptized, but I didn't know they were gonna let just random people do it, you know, whoever was willing. And once he said that, I was like, you know what, man, you know, God wants me to take that step, that next step. So I took that step, and it changed my life. I'm doing great in life. I pray often. I mean, there's just one thing I want to say is the relationships you build with your family after you're not an addict no more is amazing. And that's a true statement, because I have all my family back. I have my kids and everything. Like, and my son will be here in February 5th. He's going to be here anytime. I was going through relationship problems, but I prayed on it and they got better. So I just got to thank God, man. That's for sure.
How cool is that? I heard that story, part of that story, after our last baptism. And if you are unfamiliar with that, we had a baptism not too many weeks ago. We offered a spontaneous, we taught on baptism. We had, I believe, 11 people were scheduled to be baptized that day. We ended up baptizing 26 because we made an opportunity available for people that had given their life to Christ and had not yet taken that step of going public with that decision, which is what baptism is about. Baptism doesn't save, it doesn't wash sins away. Once you receive Christ by faith in your heart, no one can see that. So baptism is a visual picture, a coming out that you've turned your life over to Jesus Christ. I didn't hear about that until afterwards, but Kyle was one of those spontaneously baptized that day. I heard afterwards that 30 days before that, he'd given his life to Christ. And prior to that, he was hooked on heroin. And the day that his girlfriend invited him to Crossroads, he had no idea about baptism. He had no idea he'd be baptized that day. But if you were here, you might remember his face. He shot out of that tank and was so excited to take that step. And so we were thrilled that he was willing to capture his story to share with the rest of us. God is good, and God gives hope to the hopeless, the down and out, the addicted, the disconnected, the broken. And God's got great things in store yet for Kyle. We want you to hear another story. And every story is different, and every story is unique. And this is actually two stories rolled into one. A mother and a daughter. Take a look at Krista and Lori Gerbach's story.
My name is Lori Gerbach. I'm 22 years old, and I just graduated from Adrian College in the spring. And this is my mom.
I'm Krista Gerbach.
Well, welcome, you guys. Thank you so much for taking the time and to be willing to share. So, Lori, I know that you've had quite a journey for a young lady of your age. Could you share a little bit about your story?
Yeah. So in high school, they actually suspected that I had a seizure, but it never was confirmed. And then throughout college, I would have these like weird instances where I would kind of like lose track of time almost. And I knew kind of where I was, but I would be like unresponsive if someone was talking to me, and it would last for about like 30 seconds to a minute. And then, as I said, I graduated in the spring, and I took a job working at the YMCA store camps as their equestrian manager, and one of my friends actually witnessed me having a seizure. And it was late at night, so we called my mom, and she came and picked me up. We went to the ER, and we actually ended up going twice because the first time they didn't really confirm anything, and then it happened again. And so they did an MRI, they did CTs. We were there all night long.
Wow.
Yeah, my dad was up north, so mom called him a lot of times, but he ended up answering in the morning, and it was a very panicking moment for him. But from the MRI and the CT, they actually found a brain tumor and a cyst. And then after they found that, they ran more tests. So they found some cysts on my ovaries and some spots on my lungs as well. After that, I had to meet with a neurosurgeon, and he said the best route would be to do surgery. It was very overwhelming for me because it happened very quick. And standing in that room, he told me that we could do surgery on August 1st. And I believe that was about 3 weeks from then, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe not even that far. It was very close. Wow. So they instantly, like being my parents, said yes right away. And I was like, no, like I'm not ready for this yet because I had a full-time job and I just didn't know like what was going to happen. So it was very overwhelming. So he told me, being an adult, he said, I understand like from your parents' perspective, but yours as well, like if you need time to think about it. So I went and thought about it for a little bit and I talked to my bosses. So I ended up stepping down and I had surgery. Yeah.
And when you say surgery, can you explain mm-hmm. what kind of surgery?
Yes. So they actually took a 3-inch section of my skull out right here and then took the tumor out and the cyst as much as they could get of it. And then they put a plate back on. So my scar goes here and then all the way around down in front of my ear. And they barely shaved any hair, which was awesome. I was very scared about that. But anyways, so they took that out and now I have the plate in there. So they were waiting for the fracture to heal before I could start riding horses again.
Sure.
So, wow. Yeah.
Mom, how, tell me a little bit about, because I just cannot imagine sitting at the hospital with that kind of news. Your husband's not there. They're running all these tests on your baby. I mean, that'd be me feeling what?
Yeah, it was overwhelming, first of all, getting the call at 1:30 in the morning with her friend saying, Lori just had a seizure. And we went to the emergency room and they wanted to admit her. I think the hardest part was when the neurologist came in and said, you know, we found a 5-centimeter cyst. It looked just like a huge void. 5 centimeters is the size of a large lime. So then he said, because we've discovered this, we really need to get an MRI. So while she was sleeping, I had my YouVersion Bible app on my phone, which I love because I always have my Bible with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I've always been told, when you're in a crisis situation, pray God's word back to him. And I was praying for peace and strength. And again, I kept calling my husband and I couldn't get him on the phone. You're initially like, oh my gosh, this is like the worst news ever. And then she said, your normal surgical risks, bleeding. And then she said, it is the left frontal lobe, which is your speech center. And Lori, to that point, hadn't shed a tear. And as soon as those two doctors left the room, just a tear streaked down her face. And of course, she then said, you know, if I can't talk, I don't even want to live. And as a parent, you know, I was just like, Lori, you cannot say something like that. Yeah. But I was, as a parent, observing, you know, a child that you love so dearly. This was happening to her. I mean, it happened to all of us, but it was her body.
Absolutely.
And so that was really scary.
So Lori, here we are, November.
It's been 3.5 months, I believe. Yeah.
So where are we at?
So the follow-ups, one of the things, like Mom said, I think I handled everything very well because I had so many people like praying for me and I was praying. It scared me a lot when they said I might not be able to talk. The other thing that kind of really brought this into perspective, because I always just think of it like, oh, I had a tumor in my brain, but they took it out. But when I went in for my MRI yesterday, one of the questions before going in was, do you have a history of cancer? And I was like, I guess that's a yes now. was something that I hadn't really like thought about. So that was a little tough. But hoping for all good news coming back from the MRI. So
is there anything that you would say to someone sitting out watching this story that's in the midst of something, whether it's as a parent, as the themselves individually, a medical twist and turn, because we never know. What would you say to them, from your perspective, just, and you're down that road, what would you say that might be an encouragement to them? What's kind of the foundation for you that's helped both of you on this journey?
I would say just never stop believing that God has a plan, because I know we always, like, we're always going to have doubts, but you just have to believe that God always has a plan, because even over the summer, I mean, there's always been a better plan down the road. So, definitely keep believing, keep your support group, because that helped us through it so much. All of our friends, our church family, everyone just being there and praying for us, family, and then just always trusting that there is a plan.
Even when we don't know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh. And isn't that a whole lot easier? That's why I say it's a whole lot easier to talk the Christian life mm-hmm. than it is to actually live it, especially in something like that, which I've never had to do personally.
You have to have faith that things will go right. And unfortunately, Satan's always there trying to take away your joy. But I just knew that God had a plan.
Well, thank you guys both so much for sharing your story, your journey, your faith, your willingness to come and sit down.
Yeah, thank you for allowing us to share our story.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, would you give a warm Crossroads welcome to Lori and Krista Gerbach, if you guys would come on up? Welcome, ladies. That was November. Wow, time flies. So we thought it would be interesting, and they were willing to be a part of both services. And I told them, hey, I don't know what I'm going to ask you. I'm just going to watch and let it go. So here we are, February. Can you give us a little update? What's transpired? What's happened since? Where are we at?
So since then, I took a job at Adrian College as a financial aid officer, so I'm nice and close to church, which is awesome. I actually am volunteer coaching for the equestrian team as well, so everything has been, like we say, God closes one door but opens another, so I would say everything, the plan is on track, so.
Very good, very good. Mom, how are we doing?
Things are going well. It was, honestly, I have a faith over fear analogy, and I really tried to resist the whole time having fear that things wouldn't go right. I had faith that God had Lori in the palm of his hand, like he's promised us, and she's doing great. To go through something like that is just unimaginable, but I guess there are a whole lot of people that go through things every day, and we just don't know. So faith got us through.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And are you riding yet?
I am. I'm back to riding.
Are you supposed to be?
Yes.
Okay.
I did get
just checking.
I did get cleared to ride. I had to wait. So I had the surgery for my brain, and then after that, they went in and took the cyst out of my ovaries. So I had to wait again to ride after that. But I did get cleared to ride. So I've been riding with the team and going to shows at Albion. And we've got regionals coming up soon and then semifinals. So I did, which has been awesome. So
I didn't even realize, I don't know if I've ever met equestrian riders before, but both of you are well-decorated equestrian riders, right? You're not like just people that tootle around on a horse. So I was pretty impressed by that. Like, we're sitting amongst decorated royalty. So that is great. Well, wow, wow, wow. Anything that you guys would like to leave? I mean, your story is an inspiration. I still have been, yeah, it just took me back. I just can't imagine with kids younger than or older than you even. I just can't imagine as a parent. I can't imagine being your age and having that kind of news handed. And yet, you guys, your faith, your smiles, your, I know you've had your ups and downs and all of that, but your true inspiration, because no one knew the outcome. None of us have crystal balls, but the faith that you both have lived out, again, it's easier to talk it than it is to live it. So is there anything else you would share?
I would say So I don't bring it up very often. But like sometimes it'll come up in conversation, like with a coworker or something. And I'll tell them about, you know, over the summer I had surgery, and they look at me, they're like, you what? Like, you had brain surgery over the summer? They're like, I never would have known. So one of the things I always think of when I think of this story is you never know what's going on in other people's lives. Like I was telling mom today, you know, if you have a coworker that comes into work one day and maybe they just seem off that day, maybe say a prayer for them. You never know what's going on like behind closed doors. So,
wow, there's a message right there. Everybody has a story that's running in real time, right? And we have no idea. I just think people are crabby and mean. But seriously, but you have no idea. I remember when Lori walked back into church for the first time after her surgery, and I was like, so good to see you here. And she just moved her hair, and you could see this fine look. Mm-hmm. You'd have no idea how invasive that was. Krista, anything?
God didn't promise us no trouble on earth. And so, you know, when you go through things like this, you just have to know joy will come tomorrow. And I think that's having faith that he cares about each one of us.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Would you thank them again? Give them a warm, yeah, thank you guys so, so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's awesome. Wow. Would you join me in prayer? God, we just want to thank you so much for Mark's story, for Kyle's story, for Kristen and Lori's story. God, all with the common thread of faith in you. God, there's stories of loss there. There's stories of addiction and pain there. There's stories, God, of surprises and surgeries and unknowns. But God, what's unknown to us is not unknown to you. Doctors have their part, and we're very thankful that you've gifted and equipped and given minds and brains the capacity to do what they do, but ultimately you're the great physician. Ultimately, you know every step. You know how many breaths we'll take, how many days each one of us will have on this earth. And you love us. God, I pray that each one of us takes several things away today. Inspiration. The idea that Lori said that when you see someone that might be angry or they seem to be having a bad day or they're quiet, that instead of judging them and walking away or cursing at them, that we pray for them even under our breath. Because we have no idea what, but we know that there's a story in the making. In every single person that we see, those that we meet and those that we don't meet. God, may we all live different today because of what we've heard today. May some take next steps, take faith steps. May we fall more in love with your word as our guide daily. Take next steps like Kyle did, spontaneously getting baptized. Mark, who just trusted you when the whole foundation of his family fell apart. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, can I just tell you, there's not a better day than today. That if you'll surrender, Jesus is not a crutch. He's your hope. He's the one way to heaven. You can't get there on your own. And no matter where you've been and what you've done, he'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll take up residence in your heart. He'll write your name in the Lamb's book of life. He'll give you eternal life from the moment you receive him that will last for the rest of your life and then for all eternity. Because it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. It's about you trusting the one and the only one who is perfect, who was crucified and shed his blood so your sin could be forgiven. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and then on the third day he rose from the death and from the grave and defeated death so that anyone who would trust in him would receive the gift of eternal life, forever life. If that's you right where you're at, whether you're at home or in this room, if you'll provide the sinner, he provides a Savior. His name is Jesus, the one way, the only way, according to Jesus. Would you make this your prayer? Say, God, I don't understand it all, but I know I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. And I know that you came and lived and died for sinners like me. You shed your blood for my sins. You defeated death so that I could live with you forever. And so, Jesus, right now, I turn from doing life my way. And by faith, I turn to you as the one way, the only way, my hope. Thanks for loving me so much that you'd send your son to die in my place. That blows me away, God, that you, the creator of this world, could love me so recklessly that you would allow your own son to die so that I wouldn't have. So, Jesus, I receive you by faith as Savior and Lord. From this day forward, I want to live for you. I want to use my story to point other people to you. I want to tell my story that it will bring inspiration to others. We say thanks. In the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.